Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
On Monday, European foreign ministers agreed to use a naval force to help stop human trafficking across the Mediterranean from North Africa. And this was a significant step to stem the flood of migrants that has drawn the world's attention in recent weeks there. But there is no such help for another group of migrants who are in dire conditions in the Bay of Bengal off the coast of Thailand. The Rohingya are a Muslim ethnic group that has long been persecuted in Myanmar or Burma. They've lacked basic rights there. In the last 3 years, more than 120,000 Rohingyas have boarded ships to flee abroad. That's according to the UN Refugee Agency. And now thousands are stranded at sea in the Bay of Bengal, adrift in disabled ships. And their situation is an emergency. Joining me now from Satun, Thailand, near the Thai-Malaysia border, is Jonathan Head. He's BBC Southeast Asia correspondent. Jonathan, welcome.
Good to talk to you.
First, who are the Rohingya people and why are they fleeing Myanmar?
They're a minority that have lived close to the border with Bangladesh for many years. There's long been tension between them and the Buddhist population of Rakhine State. This is the westernmost state in Burma or Myanmar. It's historic. They've also been regarded by recent governments, Burmese governments, as unwanted settlers. They've not been given citizenship. And in fact, they are currently, after some sectarian violence 3 years ago, segregated in almost apartheid-like conditions, confined to squalid camps, not allowed to move around, not allowed to travel without permission. And it's those conditions that are driving them to seek a better life elsewhere, and to make these perilous journeys across the Bay of Bengal to try to get mostly to Malaysia, a fellow Muslim country where some of them have already settled and where they think they can get jobs.
And this terrible situation, as you mentioned, has been going on for several years, in addition to the human trafficking that's cropped up around it to make money. So why at this point does it appear that there are as many as 8,000 Rohingyas stranded at sea?
Well, what's happened is, after a great deal of urging, the Thai government has decided to move against the trafficking networks. It's something they've been reluctant to do. There are some very powerful, wealthy people in Thailand with good connections to politicians who run this business. And to give you an idea about how profitable it is, the traffickers buy people by the boatload from Burma or from Bangladesh. So they might buy a boatload of 300 to 400 people for perhaps $20,000 or $30,000. But they then hold them for ransom and demand $2,000 to $3,000 per person from their families. Now, if you've got 300 or 400 people and you can even get half their families to pay that, this is a hugely profitable business. And last year, the United States downgraded Thailand to the lowest possible level on its annual trafficking in persons report, a big humiliation for Thailand that they'd resisted for years. Then earlier this year, the media uncovered mass graves in some of the camps where they hold these migrants, where they hold them for ransom and terribly mistreat those who can't pay. That's basically forced the Thais to shut the trafficking networks down. That's blocked the route for people who left Burma or Bangladesh earlier this year and are hoping to get to Malaysia. They would normally have been taken by the traffickers over land. Because of this crackdown, they can't land and they've been sitting out at sea, or their brokers have, not daring to land, running out of food, running out of water. In some cases, their crews simply abandoned them. And at least one case appear to have disabled the engine. And that's why their condition is so critical.
Yes, but this suggests that the crackdown happened so suddenly that a smuggling ship that would have left days or a week or two ago from Myanmar or from wherever it launched, all of a sudden had no place to land.
That's exactly right. I mean, it wasn't planned. I'm afraid this government in Thailand, it's a military government, has generally been very reactive. And the authorities knew about these terrible camps, and they're almost like death camps. I met policemen in Thailand who knew about them and wanted to stop them, but just there was no will at the top level. Now, this embarrassment with these mass graves has suddenly forced them to act, but it is very sudden, and it does leave these people stranded. And I think that's the point that's being made now to the government here and to neighboring governments, that yes, it's a big dilemma what you do with waves of migrants coming. You don't want to open your doors to potentially tens of thousands of people. But these particular groups who are at sea now, we're talking probably 6,000 to 7,000, are in danger of losing their lives. I mean, we found a boat last week I'm very lucky to find one at all. They're very hard to find. And we're able to approach it. These people have been at sea for 3 months. They were in terrible, terrible conditions. Some of them were half starved, their ribs poking through. They were quite desperate. And when you've got a situation like that, clearly there's an urgent need to get them to land and give them treatment. And you can deal with the issue about migration and who takes responsibility for them later.
Is there a Navy in the area and indeed a government that's willing to step up in this emergency?
Sadly not. All three governments, that's Indonesia, Malaysia and Thailand, are sticking to a hardline stand where they'll give them food and water, they'll help fix their engines, then they push them out of their own territorial seas. They basically say they can't land. And there's a lot of finger-pointing going on as well, I should say. The government's here pointing back at the Burmese government and saying, well, this is all you're doing. If you treated your Rohingya minority properly, then we wouldn't have this great flood of people. But of course, the blame must be spread around. Thailand and Malaysia have tolerated the trafficking business for many, many years, and it's become so profitable, it's sucking in a great many more people this year than it has in previous years. They're induced, really, to come along with this promise eventually of a better life in Malaysia.
Let's take a step back just for a moment, though, Jonathan Head. The world, including the United States, has been busy for the last couple of years celebrating the political opening up of Burma, of Myanmar, new government, new democratic processes there. This cuts directly against that.
Yes, it does. And it's not the only concern about Burma or Myanmar. I mean, the fact that there was an opening in this country that had sealed itself off and was ruled by such an inward-looking and really horribly repressive government was undoubtedly a cause for hope. But the fact is, when you've had that kind of military rule for so long, we're talking 50 years of isolation, of dreadful impoverishment, of the military manipulating different ethnic groups, and there are so many in Burma, against each other, it's inevitable you'll get a lot of problems.
There are at least 8,000 ethnic Rohingyas from Myanmar stranded at sea in Southeast Asia in need of food and water as countries around the area, including Thailand and Malaysia and Indonesia and Myanmar, simply dither. Jonathan Head, BBC Southeast Asia correspondent. Thank you.
Thank you.